This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Everybody get on your feet. You make me nervous when you're in your seat. Take off your shoes and pat your feet. We're doing a dance that can't be beat. We barefootin'.
Ah, yes, indeed. It's News Radio 1070 WINA, Charlottesville right now. Jay James in for my good friend Coy Barefoot, who is away on assignment. We got temperatures in the 80s, had a few showers, but as Dr. Joe Sobel told us, even though we're under the thunderstorm watch till late, nothing really, really bad like we have seen. But speaking of that, we have seen some very bad things here recently in our community. And that, of course, the microburst that occurred on Thursday. Folks without power for days, as many as 60,000 people without power. Some people saying that there was tornadic activity, although climatologist Jerry Stinger, as reported by the 24-hour local news center here at WINA, saying no tornadoes, just a really severe thunderstorm. But have you noticed about 80 to 90% of the time when it's a severe thunderstorm, the power infrastructure seems to go down like that? And so today, we'll take your thoughts about what can be done. But first, we wanted to go to one of our public officials who's been kind enough to join us on the topic. And it's a topic that can't be easy because it has a lot of different answers potentially to it. But we always appreciate the time of our main man from the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and that would be Rodney Thomas. Supervisor Thomas, good evening to you, sir. And again,
good evening, Jay. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, and as I said, people know you. Thanks for making yourself available. We certainly appreciate
it. You're very
welcome. All right. Well, let's get started here, sir. You've seen kind of what has happened over the years. You've lived in Charlottesville a long time. Do you feel like, or before I ask you what you feel like, what are people saying to you? Because I know that your phone is probably ringing. You're probably getting some emails about, hey, man, what can be done about this kind of stuff?
Yeah, we've had lots of phone calls. Take it back to last December and the big snows we had. And in February, we had another one. I think we had three fairly large snows. And electricity the power was affected all over the place. I mean, just really all over the Albemarle County. And I had a number of calls that I got with some people in the Earliesville section, Ray's Ford Road and Earliesville Road area, which was without power for, I mean, just three and a half weeks. And, and they couldn't get into their places because the roads couldn't be cleared. Of course, that was a 100-year storm. I mean, it was just a drastic storm. And so it's kind of rolled into these storms that we've gotten the last month and a half. First one was about a month and a half ago. It came in, swooped down, took a lot of trees out, took everybody's power off, and was really a surprise how hard it hit us. This one, I'm on Harris Street at my shop, and it looked like it just dropped right to the sky, Jay. I mean, it was just black as it could be, and it just dropped right out of the sky, right down into the city, and it did its thing, taking trees out, poles out. I mean, it really was a disaster. And what I've been doing with a lot of the neighborhood associations is I've been trying to get the neighborhood associations to get together and talk about letting the power company, Dominion Virginia Power, come in and cut the right-of-ways back a little further, which would probably help. I don't think it would cure the problems, but it would help. And I think we're going to be able to get that done, at least out in the Woodbrook, Carsbrook area and further out. We're moving in that direction, and everybody's being pretty cooperative because in Carsbrook, where I live, we lose our electricity, and this is no joke, Jay. We lose our electricity at least 12 times a year.
Unbelievable.
And it seems like sometimes it's if a leaf blows off of a tree and it knocks the electricity off.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's for an hour. Sometimes it's for 2-3 days.
Right.
And you don't, it's very, very common right now.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see some of the neighborhoods get together with Virginia Power and have an agreement to maybe cut the wires, the trees back a little bit further from the wires, and give them a little more breathing room so they don't get taken out each time a storm comes through.
Yeah.
But we've had some drastic storms, Jay. But on the same tone of storms and rescue and fire and rescue, I would like to pat our fire and rescue people on the back for the job that they did during this last storm. I mean, it was just unbelievable. You know, everybody on the streets and had people called in, other organizations come in from outside the area to help. But they just did a fantastic job of saving people from disaster, rescuing them, getting them home. So I'd like to pat them on the back right now.
It's a great point. We're talking with Rodney Thomas of the Alamo County Board of Supervisors from the Ryle District with us. Rodney, I'm curious about, do you think that this is a problem that has become, or situation, I should say, that has gotten progressively more that it needs our attention as far as cutting the trees back and doing some of the other things that might help, as opposed to maybe a few years ago? Is it a direct response to we got more people now, we got more things going on, we require more power, and maybe the infrastructure was set up for a smaller population?
Well, that's a possibility, but we've had this problem for years, so I don't know that it's anything to do with the population.
Mm-hmm.
It could be with the lack of being able to cut the trim the trees back far enough to give the lines some breathing room. I think that's a lot of it, but we have built a lot more houses in places where we didn't have houses, and there's sort of a standing agreement rule that you don't take trees down.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're better off to take the trees down to save your wires. But I don't agree with that. I think trees are very, very beautiful. They need to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, Jay, maybe the alternative, and I know this would be really costly, would be to put some of the lines on the ground where we're having big problems and get them away from the trees.
Yeah.
And I think they could choose the best places for it. They know where the electricity goes off all the time, and that's where they should probably make that adjustment.
Yeah, absolutely. Rodney Thomas has been kind enough to join us here in our last couple of minutes. Alamo County Board of Supervisors, we're talking about the situation with power that we've experienced for years, and it came to the forefront of our minds just this past week when we had another microburst, second microburst we had had in about 30 days or so. Rodney, when you talk about, so it is, to clarify for folks, that it is the responsibility of Dominion Virginia Power and not local governments to cut those trees back, but do you all have to grant them permission in order to do so, or how does that work?
The property owners would have to grant Dominion Power, they would have to grant them permission.
Mm-hmm.
Alamo County, as an authority, would not have any authority to do it unless it was county property.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As supervisors, we can request that more care be taken in clearing the lines of any trees that are close enough to take the lines and the poles out when a big gust comes up. But you know, Jay, another situation is, you know, the money.
Mm-hmm.
The money is a little problem with taking care of the infrastructure. And it's going to continue to be one until we can get our economy back on the ground.
Yeah. And that's what jumps out to us, Rodney, when we look at this situation is, Barracks Road completely dark, Fashion Square Mall completely dark. And we had a caller ask earlier, and I don't even know if you know the answer to this, my friend. The traffic lights, which are so critical to helping people, because for some reason, I don't know what it is, people get stir crazy when they don't have power. So they're out. I've seen so much traffic.
You're right. It was terrible.
Yeah. And as much as objectively we can say, listen, when you get to Hydraulic and 29 intersection, it's one of the more dangerous ones, that it should be a four-way stop.
I think a lot of people were abiding by that, and they were using the golden rule of the road. Not everyone.
Yeah.
But I noticed if someone would stop, me or someone would stop, and then everybody in that line, in those four lanes on 29, would come to a stop and let the people out.
Yeah.
It was kind of like somebody had to lead the troops to stop.
Exactly.
And then it sort of went around the corners of the four, the four areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then that worked. I thought that worked really, really well. Of course, 29 is such a busy road that they had to have the officers out to keep the thing straight. And eventually over the weekend or after Friday night, they had to put cones up so no left turns across 29.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that I think that helped tremendously.
Yeah. It absolutely did.
It was a happening that that we're not used to having. It was drastic.
Final question for Rodney Thomas, who's been kind enough to join us, and we certainly appreciate it here at 518.
You're welcome.
Rodney, let me ask you, do you anticipate whatever you guys can do, if the constituents are really starting to murmur about this, is the Board of Supervisors and, I guess, the City Council going to ever get to the point where you're looking at, and I know the money is an issue, but you're looking at things that you might have to implement, policies you may have to implement to deal with this specific issue, or are we not there yet?
Well, I think we're probably not quite there, but we're getting close to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think as supervisors and the counselors, I think we need to provide health, safety, and welfare for the residents of the city and of the county. That is a given that we have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, we're not doing our jobs.
Yeah. All right. So, Rodney Thomas, representative from the Ryle District, thank you, sir, for your time. Really appreciate it, Jay. You take care, sir.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Rodney Thomas. Always good to talk with him, one of our good public servants. All right, we got Paul's waiting patiently on line two, and we'll give you an opportunity as well at 977-1070. It's 519. Paul, I appreciate the patience, my friend. We've got to take a brief time out, and we'll be with you right after this. 84 degrees. This is Radio 1070 WINA time. It's 522. I do apologize. My temperature gauge on the computer was a little off. It's 91. In the city, and in Shadwell, we got reports of 93 degrees. I was stuck in some twilight zone that said it was in the 80s. My apologies to you. Jay James in for Coy Barefoot, who is on assignment today, and we're talking about what our community needs to do, if anything, your ideas at 977-1070 to deal with the power infrastructure issue that we seem to be having as frequently as it goes out with these thunderstorms, which we can only anticipate we'll see more of this summer. All right, waiting very patiently, sitting in traffic, and you've got to express patience when you're in traffic. So we appreciate it. And Paul, standing by. How you doing, man?
To start off with, there's been an accident on hydraulic and wetland going probably east.
Mm, okay.
It's a good pileup.
Oh, man.
Somebody rear-ended somebody. They weren't paying attention as usual.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Paul. We appreciate that. We'll make sure we get that out repetitively here coming up in news as well. But
and on the power thing,
mm-hmm.
I've lived in the same house on the same street in the city of Charlottesville for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched people come and go. One thing they do not do is give Virginia Power permission to trim the trees.
Mm.
Especially this one person. If he had let Virginia Power keep the trees trimmed, I wouldn't have lost power. I'd have been one of the few people in my neighborhood that probably had power because I'm the second house off the transformer.
Mm.
But because this guy wouldn't let him trim the trees, the wind picks up, blows this big tree over, cuts telephone pole in half.
Oh, my goodness. So it looks like, Paul, and Roddy was just stressing that, Rodney Thomas, that it's the property owner's right to when it's on private property. So we got to get to a point where everybody's looking at this for the collective good and not just your own property.
And that's been the problem for years that I see in my neighborhood is people just don't want to give Virginia Power permission to trim their trees. And so when that happens, Mother Nature decides to whip through with a fast storm and people lose the power.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, eventually I think Virginia Power is going to end up taking everybody to court.
Yeah. I mean, it may need to happen because when I look at this most recent one, Paul, and I'm looking at Barracks Road completely dark for like over a day, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know, that's as much as we think about the individual folks who own homes, but you also think about the local economy and local businesses. And yeah, we'll say it was a day. AJ, it was just a day. Well, it was a day, you know, and you lose an entire day to do business in the community and you've got to take care of your employees and other things. That can be significant. And we certainly probably need to take a look at it. Let me ask you this, Paul. Do you think that whether Dominion takes folks to court, do you think local government needs to be involved to any degree to try to get folks to be a little bit more cooperative?
Yes, they do. I mean, if the city's willing to spend X number of dollars to build another homeless shelter, develop all these different little community activities, they need to start focusing on the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And that's the only way the city's going to survive. If they don't start focusing, people won't be able to sell their houses because before long the word gets out, hey, man, you move there, you got a storm, you ain't got no power for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Or a week. And they're going to have to start stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, y'all need to take care of this.
Yeah,
or absolutely. We won't be. I mean, the guy on Europe on the other radio station that comes in on the morning, he's right. We're becoming like a third world nation.
Wow. Mm. Paul, I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you. I value your thoughts, and I agree with you, man. So
thank you.
Thanks for chiming in, and thanks for that traffic report, too. You tell me you have a good afternoon. All right.
Bye.
That's Paul on line two. Let's go to Donna, who's been waiting patiently on line one. We got about a minute and a half. Donna, thanks for joining the program.
Okay, I'll make it quick. I have a friend from Canada, and I went to their house. They live here, and she said this would never happen in Canada. We're regulated to have trees a certain proximity away, and I think it was like 12 feet. Not positive on the amount, but they are not, you know, homeowners don't have that right to leave their trees like that. It's a law.
Mm.
So
wow.
I think it would sure help our community if we could do that. And I guess I'm a little leery. I thought, man, losing our power stops everything practically.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as terrorism and all, wouldn't take anything to, especially the way the system is right now.
It's very fragile.
Yeah.
It's wow, Donna. Good point. And we'll look at that a little bit more after the break. But thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
You're welcome.
You have a good day.
You too.
Right. You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.